But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us, loved us. For God, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So many verses that point to tell us that God loves us, and he showed that by sending his Son to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Appreciate that song this morning. It's good this morning to have Brother Furso with us, and he's the associate pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in charge of outreach. And my first, contact with the Lancaster Baptist Church was in 2005. I went out there for a spiritual leadership conference. And I'd heard about the conference, just had never attended, and so I had the opportunity to fly out there to the desert, which I continue to understand why anybody would live there, except for the church, I guess. But it's completely desert, completely desert. And but I went out there. It was during a time in my life when we were trying to complete the building behind us, and it was definitely lagging and some issues. And then also me and my wife had just lost a child. I just found out we were going to lose a child, I'm sorry, and to MS, muscular dystrophy. And so I went out there, and I remember sitting on the very Sunday that I went out early. I went on a Friday, went for soul winning on Saturday, and then went Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, I just sat in the service and cried. That's all I did. And the Lord, especially in the music started up. I couldn't believe there was actually church who had music like that. It was amazing. The orchestra and just the choir, it was phenomenal. And then the preaching was fantastic. Just had a wonderful week that week, and God really used that week in my life to undergird some things and to encourage me. And that leadership conference, I credited a lot for a lot of things, and came back with a lot of great ideas that we've implemented and used over the years. And we've been back four or five times to the spiritual leadership conference over the years, and hopefully this year our staff will get to attend. We try to go every other year. And so that church has been a blessing. And that church also is has the West Coast Baptist College, where four of our students attend. My son Joshua, Victor, the small guy, Victor Villalobos. And by the way, Victor has a mini-me out there. I met him. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, this guy's about this short, Hispanic. Victor's about this tall and Hispanic, and he has a mini-me. He needs to take a picture and send it to us. And then Tyler. Tyler's doing a great job as well. And then we always forget about Sarah. Sarah hasn't been back to our church in a long time, but Sarah Harrison's there. She will graduate in December. She'll actually finish up this December, and we're thankful for her. And she'll get married. They're getting married this summer. And what a blessing Sarah has been. She used to teach one of our Sunday school classes and was heavily involved. And by the way, we support these students. We give them scholarships. We support them $500 a semester or $1,000 a semester that we help them. And so we have an active part in their ministry. We have some, of course, at Heartland and other places. But West Coast Baptist College has had a profound impact upon our young people and, of course, upon our church as well. And we appreciate that ministry that Brother Furso is a part of, and we appreciate Brother Chapel, the influence he has through books and other areas too in our own church. And Miss Abby's attending. She'll graduate from West Coast this May. She's out here teaching in our Christian school, and I always forget, sorry. I appreciate you bringing that up. She would have been really offended if I'd have forgot about her. She didn't want me pointing her out in front of the entire church anyway, but appreciate Brother Furso, and I've been chatty and long-winded today. So, Brother Furso, you come and preach to us. By the way, been at the church 26 years. That says something, too.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. It's a great joy to be with you this morning, and I love the spirit. Enjoyed the Sunday school class I was in, and made me feel right at home, and how they picked on the teacher throughout the whole lesson there. And it was a blessing, and thank you for your faithfulness. And some of you, probably many of you, maybe grew up in a Christian home. I did not have that privilege, and I was invited to church not to attend to a revival service or a missions conference or a youth conference. I was invited to church to meet a girl, and at 15 years old, I'd go anywhere to meet a girl, and make a real long story short, that girl that I met she is my wife, and we will be celebrating 36 years of marriage this coming April. And I'm so thankful for that. Her parents were charter members of the church, and they were faithful servants. They didn't do any upfront work. They didn't, you know, sing specials or play an instrument or teach a class. Basically, what they did, they cleaned the church. And they faithfully did it for years. And he worked on the buses and changed the oil and the spark plugs and took care of all the maintenance items around the church. And they just did it from their heart. And I tell you what, servants like that makes this church, it makes any church go forward. And so I want to just personally say thank you for your heart for the ministry and be an encouragement to your pastor and to each other. And it is vitally important that we just realize who we're doing it for. And we're doing it for a wonderful Savior. And thank you for allowing me to come today. And greetings from Lancaster, California and from West Coast Baptist College. And Pastor, thank you for being an encouragement to us. And many of you parents that have sent students to West Coast, thank you for entrusting your students with us. And we certainly count that a high privilege and an honor to come alongside of you and to enhance and to help and encourage everything that you've invested into your young people. And we try to further that and to be a blessing to you. And thank you for your service. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. And I was looking for a clock in here, and I'm thinking, man, this is a spiritual church. They don't have a clock in it. And then I realized there's one right there. And there's even a snooze button on there. And I wonder if there's an alarm set, and I get to hit the snooze. How many hit the snooze button this morning? A couple of you. Okay. And I promise I won't hit the snooze button. But we're going to kind of keep along with that theme of just serving the Lord, and I pray that our time together around God's Word will be a help and encouragement to you. But I'd like to just read a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray together. Father, we do want to thank you for this wonderful time to gather together, to worship you and sing praises about you, and then to open up your wonderful word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, encourage us, and challenge us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a grandfather. I have 4 grandchildren, and I have 3 granddaughters and 1 grandson. And just a side note, our grandson and his mom and his dad will be moving to Texas. And this is really my first time to be in Texas. When we moved out from Chicago to go to California, we did drive through 40. And we kind of went through that part of Texas. I guess that would be North Texas, I guess. And so really, this is my first time being here. But I'm looking forward to visiting this wonderful state in the very near future when they move to Houston. But our 2 oldest granddaughters, Abby and Allie, they're 7 and 6 years old. And they enjoy coming over to Poppy's house and Nani's house. And one of the things they really enjoy doing is running. They love to run. And our house is set up where we have basically a racetrack. As you walk into the house, that's our entryway. You walk into the entryway and you go right into the kitchen. You make a sharp right and you go into our dining room. And you take another right, you go into our living room. And you take one more right and you go back into the entryway. Now, if we went outside and kind of went down ran down the sidewalk, I'd be a lot quicker and faster than those 2 little girls. But it's amazing, inside the house, though, in that little circle, I can't catch him. As hard as I try, and it's not like I'm kind of giving that, the grandpa, pass. Man, I'm trying, and I'm running as fast as I can, but I'm just not able to make those turns as quickly as they do. And it's just about when I'm ready to grab them, there's a turn. And I just can't catch them, and they always win that race. And I don't know if you've ever been in a race. Maybe for some, it's been a long time. I was never a fast runner. But I tell you what, I love to race, and I love sports and just being a part of that. And recently, I took up mountain biking to,
to kind of get in shape. I tried jogging. I never really enjoyed jogging. Every jogger that I ever looked at when they were jogging had this face of pain and torture, and it's like, why am I doing this? And so I didn't want to do the jogging thing. And so I started doing mountain biking, and I really enjoy it. And last April, I was kind of encouraged to enter a race. And I had no idea. I've never been in a mountain race before. And so I kind of went to my local bike shop, and I asked, the owner there where I bought my bike. And I asked him, I said, hey, tell me about, racing and mountain biking and how should I approach this? Because in my mind, I thought this makes common sense to me. All right, go slow. Be safe. No crashes. And kind of allow the race kind of come to you. And I walked in, I started talking to Rich. I said, Rich, how should I approach it? He said this, go as fast as you can right from the beginning. And I'm thinking, whoa, really? I said, what happened? I mean, it's like running, just running really fast. You get out of breath. He said, oh, no. He said, you'll do okay. He said, you may feel you're going to have a heart attack. But you won't. And that kind of scared me, to be quite honest with you. And so I remember that race, man. We got to that starting block and kind of looking at my competition. And I kind of started talking. I said, hey, how long have you guys been doing this? And he said, oh, we've done this a lot. And they asked me. And I said, this is my first race. He said, you never raced before. No, first one. And so these were like, this was the beginner class, all right, for 50 and above. But they have all done this before. So I knew I was in trouble. And so I remember what Rich said. Go as fast as you can as soon as you start that race. And I'll tell you what. I started pedaling as fast as I can. And about halfway through that first lap, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I was gasping for air. And I remember what Rich said. You won't have a heart attack. And then I said, what happens if he's lying to me? But the Christian life is like a race. Now, I was in competition on that mountain bike race. I had some competitors. But the amazing thing about the Christian race is this, is we're not in competition with one another, but we are running with one another. And that's a great joy to realize that. And I believe that the aim for every Christian is when we stand before God, is hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear my Savior say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, the Christian race demands our devotion because it's so important. Each and every one of us has a race, a course that God wants us to run. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation become with the gospel of Christ, that whether I am come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, here it is, for the faith of the gospel. Why are we running? Because of the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we're running our race, and that's why it's so important that we're found faithful in the race that God has called us to run. This morning, I'd like to share with you three aspects of the Christian race. First of all, we notice this, the start of the race. Like I said, the start of the race in mountain biking is so important because you do want to get ahead of your competitors. Because the moment you start climbing, that's when you begin really having a lot of difficulty if someone is slower in that climb than you are, and you're behind them, and it's really difficult to pass on the climbs. Even in the Christian life, the start of your race, listen, the starting point for the believer is salvation. And I tell you what a wonderful joy to know Christ as our Savior. We sang songs about our Savior this morning, but that's when the race begins. The Bible tells us here in verse number one, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us what? Run. And we start running the moment we accept Christ as our Savior. The old saying, you're just spinning your wheels. I remember this visit I made years ago, sitting in the living room talking to a husband and wife. His name was Jerry and her name was Julie. And they were a religious family. And they really, with great endeavor and with purpose, they tried to love God and serve God. But it was in a form of works. And as I sat there and kind of heard their story, and I realized right off the bat that they weren't believers, that they didn't accept Christ as their Savior. And I began going through the book of Romans and just going from verse to verse. And I remember getting down to Romans chapter number 6 and verse 23, where the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And it seemed like the light went on with Jerry. He kind of looked at me and he said, "Yeah, that makes sense. That it's a gift. It's not something we earn. It's not something we strive for. It's not something we work for." And as soon as the husband said that, Julie began to cry. Now, most men get nervous when girls start to cry. And this wasn't just one of those cries where, you know, there's just a tear in the side of the eye and it kind of just swells up a little bit. It's one of those boo-hooing type of crying. Man, tears start coming down her face and her nose turned red. And I'm thinking, what did I say? And I kind of looked at her husband maybe for some insight, and he kind of went, you know, like most men, I don't know why she's crying. But while she was just crying, I didn't really know what to do. Pastor, I just kind of just was quiet for a few seconds. And she got her composure finally. And she looked at me and just kind of choked out these words. I knew I couldn't do it. But for all these years, I've tried. And I just kept on falling short. She was trying. She was putting her best effort forward, but she was falling short. And that's why Jesus came. Aren't you thankful for that? That because of Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection, you and I are forgiven. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 103 and verse number 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." You know, when you're sitting in a job interview, sometimes they'll say, "Let's share with you our benefits." And that's when you get kind of excited, aren't you? What are my benefits? What am I going to receive if I accept this position? Hey, as a believer, God says we have many benefits. But here, may I challenge you? Don't forget them. Don't forget them. And the biggest benefit is this: we are forgiven. What a joy to know that your sins are forgiven. The Bible says, "Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles." Man, what a joy it is to be forgiven. A couple years ago, I was making this follow-up visit on one of our bus families, and as I was in their home, I began to talk to the husband. His name was Robert Gomez. And Robert had kind of some tattoos and some markings on his body that I kind of thought maybe he was like a gang member, maybe a former gang member. Started sharing the gospel with them. And he stopped me. He said, "Wait a second, Pastor." He said, "I want you to know that I was a part of a gang down in L.A. And I've really done some really bad things in my life." He said, "I don't think God would forgive me. I don't think God would even want somebody like me." And I looked at him, and I was able to turn over to Romans, where the Bible says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And I shared those verses about God's love and how He's willing to forgive them no matter what we've done. God's love is deeper than our sin. And it was such a joy to see Robert open his eyes and realize, wow, I am a candidate to receive God's forgiveness in his life. And Robert prayed and accepted Christ. His wife got saved. The kids got saved. And they faithfully serve in the Lord. And I'm thankful for the power of the gospel and how it forgives us of our sins. But not only that, but we have a future. You know, the Bible tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." The Bible says in Philippians 1 and verse number 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you." Hey, that good work started. Hey, that race started when you and I accepted Christ as our Savior. That's a good work. I'm confident, Paul said, that God will continue that work and will perform it unto the day of Christ. Oh, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listen, God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. God has a course that he wants us to run. And listen, here's the amazing thing is, nobody could run your course. Now, we're not in competition with one another, but God has a course for you to run. And no one else could, that course is designed just for you. Now, listen, you think about that, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? Now, listen, when I began to understand that as a teenager, that God had a course for me to run, and I was the only one that could run that course, I began to realize, wow, that's amazing that God has a course for me and a plan and a purpose for my life. Now, I'll be honest with you, as a teenager, I never thought it would be ministry by any means. I thought maybe I could, help around the church, or maybe help on a bus route, or maybe, teach a class. May I say this? God has a purpose and plan for each of your lives. He's got a course that he wants you to run. Now, I know what happens sometimes. We kind of compare ourselves with one another and say, man, I wish I had his race. I wish I had that track to run on because mine is, I don't like mine. May I challenge you? Embrace it. Embrace the challenges and even the difficulties that may come your way. Oh, I won't take time, but the trials and the disappointments that my wife and I, that we face through our race. But God's grace is always sufficient for all things. And God is real, and God will help you and strengthen you for your race. But remember this, young people, God has a future for you. Now I want to challenge you, look at that and realize that, hey, God has a race for me to run. And may I challenge you as a church, run that race. Man, do it your very best. And I know I'm not as young as I used to be. And I can't run as fast as I once ran. But God still has a race for me to run. And may I challenge you to do that. So now that we see the race, the start of the race, but then we see the strategy for our race. What's our strategy? Once again, look what the Bible says here in verse number 1. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How should we run our race? Number 1, we ought to run light. The Bible says here, lay aside every weight. Now, in a sense, a weight is not sin. Now, it could become a sin. If I was going to run a race, I wouldn't be dressed like this. Okay, is this sinful? Maybe, okay? All right? No, it's not. But if I was to run a race, I would shed off this. I would take off my tie. I would take off these shoes and put on a pair of gym shoes, and I would get as slick as possible so I wouldn't have a lot of wind resistance. Here it is. The Bible says, for the race that God has for you. Now you think about it. Okay, God has a race for you. And you got to say, okay, I need to lay aside any weight. And I'm not sure what that weight is because it's different for all of us. Now for me, some of it is sports. I love sports. And there was a time in my life that sports had too much of me. And it controlled me. And if my teams won, I was happy. If they lost, I was angry. I was out of balance. So there was about a 5-year period that I had to shed that. And so you know what? This is not helping me to run my race. So I'm not sure. Let the Holy Spirit apply the thought to your mind and to your heart about your race, and maybe some things from this world have come into your life that has become a weight now that's slowing you down from running the race that God has called you. But we ought to run light. Oh, the Bible says, love not the world, neither are things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here it is. The love of the world, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Very simple. Listen, if we live for this world, listen, it's not going to last. But if we live for God, it's for eternity. So the choice, I mean, really, when you look at it, I want to live for the temporal or for the eternal? I think we would all say, let's live for the eternal. Because it's going to last. But so many times the things of this world, what? They have a pull. They have a pull on us. So the strategy, boy, we need to run light. We need to run light. Maybe it's your past. Maybe your past is weighing you down. Let's go to that first point, though. We're forgiven.
Amen.
You know, Paul said this. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Let me ask you, are you pressing this morning? Are you running? Are you stretching yourself? Are you giving it all you got? Oh, that's how we ought to run our race. God's called us to run. And we might need to leave our past behind, or maybe some pleasures. God gives us a lot of things to enjoy, but maybe those enjoyments have become maybe a weight, or maybe even our possessions. Maybe they're a weight. But God wants us to run light. But not only does He want us to run light, but He wants us to run right. The Bible says here in verse number 1 again, He says, "Let us lay aside every sin that easily besets us." Isn't it amazing how it's that one sin or two sins in our life that keeps tricking us up? I mean, I could go back in my mind when I first became a Christian and how I came to an altar and with sincerity and with pure motives, laying down certain sins. And it just seems like 2 days later, I'm struggling with that same sin again. It's that besetting sin, that sin that keeps on tripping us up. Might be pride. Might be lust. Might be greed. I'm not sure what it is. But the Bible says we need to run right. We need to run according to God's word. And we need to stay in the line, on the course that God's called us to run. Oh, the Apostle Paul really struggled with this, and it was always before him. And you almost say maybe a concern to him that he would finish his course properly. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, "Know ye not that we which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now that ye do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others," listen to what he said, "I myself should be a castaway." What was Paul's concern? He didn't want to be disqualified. He wanted to finish his race. But at the end of his life, he says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. Wow. Paul ran. He ran right. But then we need to run with Jesus in sight. The Bible says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, there's so many distractions in this world. They get us sidetracked and trip us up. And it's amazing. The danger is we get our minds focused maybe on problems or on trials or on people. But God's Word encourages us and challenges us, looking unto Jesus. We need to lift our eyes and we need to focus on Him.
Amen.
Take our eyes off of others. Listen, take our eyes off of self and get our eyes on the Savior. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that we might be redeemed from all iniquity and purify unto Him a peculiar people, zealous of good works." May I challenge you, as you run your race, as you run, keep looking at Jesus.
Amen.
Listen, Jesus will never fail. Never. He'll never fail you. Man, friends may fail you, family may fail you, but listen, Jesus will never fail you. Also, as we run our race, let's make sure that we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, that we're fixed on Him, because He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. He's our example. He is the one that perfected it, and we need to keep our eyes fixed on Him. So we first of all notice the start of the race, and then we looked at the strategy and how we ought to run. Then finally, How about the strength for our race? How many of you sometimes just get tired? Get worn down? Maybe even a little discouraged? How can our strength be renewed? Let me give you two final thoughts. Number one, we need to follow the right pattern. And Jesus Christ is our pattern. The Bible says here in verse number two, He's the author and He's the finisher, our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Oh, what a joy to know that Jesus Christ ran His race and He finished it. And guess what? Guess He kept His eyes was fixed on despising the shame, the Bible says there. And that was set before Him, the cross. He endured the cross. He did that for you and for me. And that's the pattern that we ought to follow and say, Lord, you have a cross for me to bear. The Bible says if we're not willing to deny self and pick up our cross and follow Him, we can't be His disciple. So there is a cross for each of us to bear. And Jesus did that for you and for me. There may be someone here this morning, and you're not sure of your eternity. May I say this? Jesus went to the cross for you. For you. You might say, well, you don't know who I am. You're right, I don't. But listen, He does.
Amen.
And He saw you. And He saw me. And He went to that cross. And there on that cross, He shed His blood and He died. But praise God, 3 days later, He resurrected from the grave to defeat sin and death and the grave.
Amen.
And He did that so you and I might know for sure that heaven could be our home.
Amen.
Oh, the Bible tells us that Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verse number 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Aren't you thankful that He finished?
Amen.
You know, even in the garden, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Boy, I'm so glad He went to the cross. But not only that, but we need to be filled with a renewing power. This is my wife's life verse. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, and verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I'm not sure what you're facing this morning, but your strength can be renewed for your race. And remember, our strength doesn't come from us, but comes from Him and His Holy Spirit working in and through us. And that's why the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now this morning, let me ask a question. How are you doing in your race? I'm not asking you how your kids are doing. I'm not asking how your spouse is doing or the person in front of you or behind you is doing. How are you doing? You might be sitting here saying, well, I'm not even sure if I'm in the race yet. Can I say this? You're in the right place then. Because today you could be put into that race by accepting that wonderful gift of salvation. That's for you. But for many of you that know Christ as your Savior, how are you doing in the race? Have you been a little sidetracked? Maybe some weights that have come into your life that's kind of slowed you down? Or maybe that sin has tripped you up? Maybe you've taking your eyes off of Jesus, you've placed your eyes on others, or maybe on yourself. But one thing is certain, we do have a race. And one day, we will stand before God. And I'm sure each and every one of you desire for God to say to you, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. Father, we do want to thank you this morning to share your word and the truth of it. And Lord, I pray that it has been a help and encouragement, Lord, to your people. And Father, I know that this very moment is very important, Lord, because this church and this pastor has been praying and working towards this very moment when people make decisions. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this room this morning that has never accepted the wonderful gift of salvation, that today would be that day when they would receive the gift of eternal salvation that's only found in Christ. And then for those that have known you and have been in the race, but maybe are just a little bit weary in well-doing, or maybe even a little discouraged and defeated, Father, may they find new strength in you. May they be renewed. And so, Father, I pray that you would work in hearts this morning. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, and I would just like to ask a couple of questions this morning. And how many of you this morning could testify and by lifting up your hand, say, you know what, I'm in the race because I've accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. I know that He is my Savior. How many could raise your hand and just testify of God's goodness in your life? And I'm thankful that I'm saved, and here's my hand. And that praise goes to God because He's the one that did it for you. You may put your hands down. Is there anyone this morning that would say, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm in that race. I'm not sure if I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven. But I would like to know that. Is there anyone like that? Can you lift up your hand and say, would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. Anyone like that? Say, here's my hand. I'm not sure. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Here's my hand. I'm not sure if I would go to heaven, but I would like to know. Would you pray for me? Anyone else? How many Christians this morning would say, you know what, there's a part of my race I need to make some adjustments. And God spoke to my heart. Is anyone like that? Just lift your hand up. Thank you. Let's all stand together. Father, I pray now that you'd work in hearts. And Lord, I pray there'd be a sense of liberty to make decisions, Lord, for you. Lord, I pray for this one that raised their hand, not knowing for sure that heaven would be their home. Lord, I thank you for the courage that she had just to raise her hand. And Father, I pray that she would come forward and meet with one of the pastors and settle that issue in her heart. And then for those that have made that decision, Lord, they're in the race. And Lord, they just want to perfect their race. They want to be more effective in their race. I pray that you'd work in their hearts. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you're doing in our lives. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as the piano plays and as the brother sings. If you want to take time to come forward and pray and talk to the Lord, let me encourage you to do that. And for the one that raised your hand about salvation, I encourage you to step out and come down. And I know the pastor would love to share with you how you can know that.
Jesus paid it all.